Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Cavaliers, the official Cleveland Cavaliers podcast of the Locked On Sports Network. As usual, I'm your host, Chris Manning, an editor for The Sword, staff writer at Hardwood Paroxysm. And for the first time, I'm joined by two guests on the podcast to discuss the overall Olympic basketball competition, not just talking Team USA or talking Kyrie Irving. We're going to talk every team and kind of see how Kyrie and Team USA fit in there. We have a new panelist on the show today. It's my former podcast host at Dot the Podcast. That's a real Cavs blog if you're a deep cut. He writes for Upside and Motor, Ridiculous Upside, and Fear the Sword. It's Trevor Bagnotti. Trevor, what's up?
How's it going? Glad to be back on a podcast. It's been like 2 years now?
Oh, yeah. I think. Yeah, it was.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while since it was the Chris and Trevor show. And also on the show today, it's another, actually, we're all Ohio Bobcats, which is pretty great. We have Chicago Bureau Chief Carter Rodriguez. Carter, what's up?
Happy to crash the party of nostalgia and kind of really throw off the equilibrium.
It's okay, Carter. We're happy to have you here, especially because Trevor is an Athens hater deep down in his heart.
Which is so stupid, but that's another argument for another day.
Yeah. And when the Cavs have won their seventh world title in a row and we have nothing else to talk about, we'll talk about why Trevor doesn't like Athens. But in the meantime, Olympic basketball is about to start, and it's a pretty interesting group of teams, even without some of the star power of past years. Obviously, Team USA is the favorite. They're in Group A with France, Venezuela, Serbia, China, and Australia. Former Cav Matthew Dellavedova, by the way, is on Team Australia. In Group B of Argentina, Spain hosts Brazil, featuring Anderson Varejao, Lithuania, Croatia, and Nigeria. As noted already, Team USA is the favorite, but I think they could get some push from some teams at certain points. To start with Trevor, either group, Trevor, before we go group by group, is there a team you think is the biggest threat to the United States?
I mean, obviously Spain is the team that has the biggest chance of knocking off Team USA, as it has been basically since like 2006, 2007, when the Gasol brothers really started to become the forefront of that team. They just have the best athletic group and just the most depth of any team on the docket. And they're probably the team that they're going to end up playing in the gold medal game. I mean, you're not going to have Marc Gasol there, which is a big bummer. But they've got a ton of good NBA players, Pau, Jose Calderon, Nikola Mirotic, and they've also got a ton of guys who are, you know, at the top of the flight of European competition. You've got Sergio Rodriguez, who's coming back to the NBA. Yule. That's what it is. I just get baffled at the four L's and a five letter name and just can never figure it out. But Sergio Yule, who's been one of the best players in Spain for about the last decade. Juan Carlos Navarro, same thing. And they're adding a couple nice young guys in here too. With Alex Abrines, who played really well for Barcelona last year, and Guillermo Hernan Gomez, who's now a New York Knicks. So yeah, they've got probably the most depth of any team, and they're probably going to be the team that they end up playing in the medal rounds. Group A, I don't really see any great challengers. I would probably give Serbia the best chance, but yeah, it's basically just the United States, Spain, and a battle for the bronze medal, as it has been the last two Olympics.
Yeah. Carter, what about you?
I mean, I agree with Trevor. I mean, it's kind of boring just to say Spain, but also Spain. Like, they have the talent, they've got the size. Is a bummer. The Marc Gasol thing really hurts, I think, especially since they have Mirotic as their kind of naturalized citizen on the team, and they don't have Serge Ibaka like they did at the last Olympics. You know, Ibaka pairs a little bit better with Pau at this point in their careers, whereas Pau is, you know, he's not the best defender, and neither is Mirotic. And when I've watched Mirotic is not a guy I really like watching within the context of the Spanish roster. I think he takes some really, really awful shots when they have more effective offense elsewhere, and obviously isn't the best defender. I don't know. I think Serbia is a blast to watch. I know Trevor likes to kind of refer to them as, I believe, the Rockets of Europe. Mm-hmm. Like when things are going really well, they're really scary and really talented. And when they're not going well, it looks awful. But they have so much talent. Milos Teodosic is one of my favorite European players to watch. He's just got a really cagey game. And really talented. Then they've got two bigs that, you know, might be able to do some work, Nikola Jokic and Miroslav Radulica. I was kind of surprised you didn't mention France. What has you kind of off of France, Trevor?
France is just always a weird team. Like they've had a decent amount of talent the last couple of years, and they also have kind of the same depth developing that Spain does. But for whatever reason, they just have had a very rough time trying to put things together on the Olympic stage. I mean, on paper, it all makes sense. You've got Tony Parker and Nando DiColo, the EuroLeague MVP, as your starting backcourt. That's a really tough backcourt for anybody to defend, including Team USA. You've got Nicholas Batum, who
is playing, correct?
Oh yeah, he's not in. But you've got a bunch of guys there who are just really, really overall skilled and don't have real weaknesses to their game, and they're really flexible on the roster. But at the same time, I mean, you look at them and you just don't see really that level of chemistry that you see with a lot of the other international teams. I don't know why it is, but for whatever reason, and this happens in soccer too, the French team just never is able to put it together chemistry-wise.
Okay, that is like the most true thing I've ever heard, because literally this, like looking at the Euros from this past summer, literally that should have been France's tournament in the final. Yeah. Like they have freaking Paul Pogba, and Ronaldo gets hurt in that final, and they still lose. Like it's peak France. And I think you guys are both hitting on something interesting here too, is that there's teams, all these teams at the top, USA doesn't have, like, they're not injured, but they don't have LeBron, they don't have Curry, they don't have Russell Westbrook. Spain doesn't have Marc Gasol. Batum's not playing for France.
Quick correction. I think Batum is playing for France. Okay. I think I was ill-informed.
Well, damn, Trevor. But
yeah, it was Carter, it was sorry. Fournier yeah, that isn't playing.
I haven't read. It seemed like he was off the roster, not because of injury, like he just didn't get picked or something, but. Australia doesn't have Bogut. I don't think Ben Simmons is playing, if I'm correct.
He's not.
Yeah, so it's like some of these teams that I think could be interesting, at least in theory, challenges for the United States, don't have their full arsenal. Like, this isn't the Olympics where Ben Simmons, the Matthew Dellavedova-Ben Simmons duo is going to light the world on fire and shock some people, because that's going to happen. Not really, but, like, this isn't the Olympics that would happen, but it still kind of sucks that you're not going to see guys, like some of the best, more interesting players in the world that aren't Americans playing in this tournament.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But at the same time, I do think there's plenty of talent here, and I'm not really sure any of those guys really swing the pendulum being able to challenge USA. And there are fun young players to watch. Like Croatia is a blast. You're gonna get people are really gonna get their first look at Dario Saric. Mm-hmm. Bojan Bogdanovic is kind of, he's current Nets guard, is kind of has the green light on that team. He kind of fires away, and then they got Mario Hezonja as well. On the other Bogdanovic front, Serbia, you'll kind of get Kings fans will get their first look at Bogdan Bogdanovic, if I'm correct there.
Yeah,
two Bogdans.
So there is a lot of fun young talent. I was just thinking, though, it's not that there's not talent abroad. It's that we've hit this weird, and Trevor, feel free to correct me, but it feels like we've kind of hit a weird lull where the golden generations are kind of aging, and then the next set of stars just aren't quite there yet. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I definitely agree that, you know, we're seeing some of the older players phase out. I mean, Probably the biggest example is Lithuania, who, you know, was a huge power in like the, or throughout the 2000s and 04 and 08. And their talent level has kind of gone down in the last couple of years. Meanwhile, you've got this really deep class the last few years that has come in from Croatia and Serbia, who, you know, have a lot of good talent now, but projecting kind of more towards 2020, that Croatia team's going to be really, really good. We mentioned Saric already, as well as Hezonja. They've got Dragan Bender sitting there ready to come in for the next Olympics. The two centers, Ivica Zubac and Ante Zizic. And they've got a ton of young talent that may not be ready to really compete at that level in this Olympics, but, you know, we're seeing a little bit more of a transition here into some new powers, and Croatia is probably the best example of that. They're going to be really fun and really interesting in this one, but I don't expect them to really be a competitor, but you looked more towards the next FIBA World Cup and then the 2020 Olympics, and Croatia is going to be probably the biggest threat to Spain in terms of teams that will be able to knock off the U.S.
Yeah, Trevor, I think that's a really good point, considering this maybe isn't the Olympics where we see a team beat the U.S. or beat Spain or like change the hierarchy anyway, but I think like there are seeds there for the future of, you know, teams that are younger now and not as quite polished now because they haven't played in the NBA or don't have a lot of guys playing in the NBA, but once they do, they're going to be ready to compete. I mean, you mentioned Croatia. Serbia has some really nice players. Nikola Jokic is a really, really good player. I think if more people watch the Nuggets last year, probably he's getting more Rookie of the Year. So, you know, like that would help if people watch him more. But he's really, really good. He's very technical center, very skilled around the basket, like a very good player. To a lesser extent, Canada has like a really good crop of young players coming up. So, like, I think the seeds are there for teams to start challenging some of the hierarchy. Maybe not knocking off the U.S. You'd have to see if the next generation of U.S. players develops how they have in the past. Can't assume, I guess, but the odds are America stays on top, but there could be new teams. Looking just specifically before we kind of make predictions and kind of just feel some things out, are there any players, even if you already mentioned them, at least one from each of you, you would say, okay, you're Joe Schmo, you're the average fan. Who would you say you have to watch this guy and try to not pick an American? Cause I think we're mostly familiar with, you know, the Paul Georges, even if he's not the biggest star. And you can go start with Carter.
Okay. I can probably come up with a couple. I mentioned him earlier, but, Miloš Teodosic is my guy, for Serbia. He's their point guard. Kind of a shaky jump shooter, definitely very streaky. But he's just one of those, like, prototypical, really, really good European guards. Like, he just knows how to play. He's a little cheeky with how he, you know, with the kind of angles he tries to find. I doubt we'll ever see him play in the NBA, but he's so fun to watch. And when that Serbian team's engine is really humming, he's a blast. And he's just the kind of guy and he's fun in a way that, not the same kind of player, but in the way that Marcelo Huertas was for Brazil, you know, over the course of his career, and you know, a lot of people thought he would never be coming over either. So like these kind of Euro lifers that are great that people might not get to know. I'm a big Teodosic guy. I can probably come up with another one while Trevor talks.
Yeah, I've got a few. They're kind of from all over and all different walks. I mean, probably biggest one for me is over in France. He is actually a former NBA player, is Nando De Colo, coming off a EuroLeague MVP season. He was a guy that never kind of he had all the tools, but when he was playing with the Spurs, he never really could fit it together, and he was a really reckless player. He's calmed down a lot and got a lot more technically skilled now that he plays over in Russia for CSKA Moscow, and he is very good three-point shooter, really athletic, defends really well in space. He is probably the guy of non-NBA players right now who's the best in the group. Additionally, I'll mention Deli's teammate Ryan Brokhoff, played for Lokomotiv Kuban in Russia, and he plays for the Australian team. 6'7", hits a ton of threes, really good player, or really nice player. And then, of course, there's, you know, you have all your big men. Mira Bolan for Croatia is really good. It's fun to watch Miroslav Radulica for Serbia. He's fun. He's real big. He's going to be a challenge to score on.
You stole Radulica from me. I love that guy, too. I love the Serbian team. You guys both know this.
Yeah.
I love Radulica. He's like this big post-behemoth. He doesn't really seem to defend ever. Just gets buckets in the post, especially against smaller guys. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting if them and Lithuania get matched up, just because it's going to be Radulica and Jokic going to war with Valanciunas for Lithuania, and that's just going to be fun. I love one of my favorite parts of the Olympics is just these European teams with these massive centers who don't really move great, but still are able to make a ton of plays down low going against each other. That's going to be a real fun matchup if that happens.
Yeah.
Shame we didn't get to see Baroussis and Koufos for the Greek team here.
I mean, there's a lot of guys on teams that almost made it that would have been really interesting. Like, Senegal has a couple of really good, decent guys that are interesting. You know, like the Dieng. You know, you have our Ohio Bobcat favorite, Maurice Endor. Played really well in qualifying. But there's a lot of guys that I think would have been more fun to see than, or at least you get more value out of watching them than, you know, like watching DeMar DeRozan do the same thing he's going to do with the Raptors and he's going to do it when he plays in garbage minutes for Team USA.
Yeah, well, it'd be nice to have Canada here if they had just beaten freaking Venezuela, who are just going to get trucked.
Yeah.
And, Venezuela being here and China being here are the two where it's like, Do we really have to do this?
I'm here for the Yi Jianlin Redemption Tour. I'm here for it. I mean, why not? I mean, he's not good. And like
It will be good to see Zhu Qi.
Yeah, but like if he plays a big
center,
he's
actually worth anything.
Yeah, but he's going to play like
he was the guy in this draft that was like hands down even more than Thon Maker, the hardest to project just because he's so tall and he's got so many skills, but he's just real thin. And I want to see him try to defend in space against guys who have NBA size. Just because I don't believe that he can functionally do it. And it'll be interesting to see if he's actually worth the second round pick that the Rockets got for him.
He's so slender, which is like for me, he's interesting. And I think the NBA would like there to be another good Chinese player, to be honest. Like, I think just from a marketing standpoint, they would love that. But, like, if he's 7'1 and he's 218 pounds, like, Boogie Cousins might break him if the U.S. plays China in the tournament. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that sort of plays out. I already mentioned him, but the guy I would just say, if you're watching, this is not a deep cut because I do not know as much as you guys about this, but if you're an NBA fan, you go, okay, who can I watch on an international team and go and then watch him in the regular season? There's two guys. It's Dario Saric because he's just – I don't know how he's actually going to work in Philly. I haven't, like, looked at that or thought about it much yet, but, like, he has skills, and I hope he gets to play there, and I hope he actually gets to carve out a role for himself, and I hope that Colangelo just trades a big so he can play. And watch Jokic. Like, seriously, just watch him because he's so skilled. He's maybe not a Karl-Anthony Towns-level guy, like I think I've seen some people argue with me on Twitter about, but he's really good and he's really skilled, and he's the reason I think most out of everyone you should be excited about Serbia, because he's just so talented and he might be the Nuggets' best young guy, which is kind of crazy considering I like Moutier a lot. Mm-hmm. One of Gary Harris and Jamal Murray is probably going to work out, and there might get another guy too. But Carter, do you have anybody else that you really think people should pay attention to during this tournament before we go to some picks?
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking around, and you mentioned him as well, Trevor, Sergio Rodriguez for Philly fans. This is a fun Olympics for Philly fans because they're going to get to see Sergio come over this year again after, yeah, I think he was only in the league for like 3 years before he went back overseas, but he's got this I hope he hasn't shaved it. I haven't seen Spain play in a little while, but he's got this enormous, ridiculous beard, and just is so fun to watch. Unbelievable next level passer. Not a top level defender at this point, but just really understands how to play. I just have a sucker. I'm just a sucker for these European point guards that just they play the game like it's soccer, and their vision, and like they play the game with a certain like just inherent fun to it. So Sergio kind of fits that that threshold as well.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. He's definitely an exciting guy, and just like an older, more skilled guy. Looking at the groupings, you know, we've mentioned them a little bit at the beginning of the show, but I'm going to put you guys on the hot seat here and ask you to kind of pick how this is going to play out, and just kind of see what this looks like. And to start with Trevor, who's going to get out of Group A?
I think that it's pretty clear that China is not, and that the U.S. is. And then those other three spots among four teams is going to be really interesting. I think that the Australian team actually has a decent shot, to advance. I think that they've got enough athletes, and some really good shooting between Brokoff and Deli and Patty Mills.
Is Ingles going to be there? Is Joe Ingles going to be there as well?
Yeah, Joe Ingles too. And they've got enough shooting that I think they're the team in this group that I think is going to be that is going to have the best likelihood of just catching fire and just completely destroying someone, probably Venezuela, but someone. So I think that Serbia and France are locks, and it's really just kind of a battle between Australia, China, and Venezuela for that last spot. I don't think Venezuela has a chance. I think Australia has more, just more shooting, that they're going to be able to compensate for, probably not being able to get to the rim as well against China. And I think they'll be able to beat them head to head, and that'll be what helps them advance, in the end. So I'll put France, USA, Serbia, Australia.
And is USA on top of that group, Trevor?
Oh, certainly. I don't think they're going to get touched in this group.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we touched on the Carter. Any disagreements there?
No, that's my four picks. If I had to, you know, put it in order, I would probably say I think U.S. is going to win the group. I think Serbia will come in second. I think France will come in third, and I think Australia will come in fourth.
And to then look at Group B, which again, Argentina, Spain, Brazil, Lithuania, Croatia, Nigeria. We'll start with Carter on this one. Carter, how do you see that shaking out?
This one feels a lot more competitive, and it's going to be tough. You know, you've got Argentina and Brazil for your South American teams that are getting really, really old, but still are really competitive. I would put Spain up there in the number one spot. I think they're going to win the group. Then it gets a lot murkier. Lithuania is not the team they used to be, but they're not bad. I think they have talent. So I think I'm going to go with Argentina in second in the group. Then I think Croatia is going to be third, and I think I'm going to slot Brazil in at the four spot with Lithuania and Nigeria not making it out of the group. Trevor, any disagreements there?
Yeah, like you said, this is going to be a much more competitive group. It's going to be a much more fun group to watch, honestly. You've just got a lot more athletes, a lot more cohesive teams here than you do in Group A. I actually differ with you a decent amount. I do think that Spain's going to win the group. I actually have Lithuania coming in second, just because you look at the rest of the teams here, and I don't really see a team that's going to be able to stop Valanciunas from having his way inside. I think that's going to kind of propel them forward, and I actually have them finishing in second. I have Argentina in third, just because it's a veteran squad, and I think that they're gonna have a good Olympics. And then I have Croatia in fourth, with Brazil missing out, because I hate this Brazil roster. It's old, it's injured. The most, I think, competitive player here, and the most talented player on this roster is probably Raul Neto, and that says a lot. I just don't see Barbosa, Nene, Varejão, Huertas being able to roll this back and give anyone anything.
I felt a little obligated to slide them in because they've got that host nation advantage.
Yeah, that's true. They already developed the Zika virus immunity, which is the real wild card here.
Yeah, the starting depth chart right now for Brazil is Neto, Barbosa, Bruno, Nene, and Varejão, with Splitter, Favarini, Benitez, who's actually their team captain.
Right?
Yeah, Splitter and Favarini aren't playing.
Yeah,
they're not on the roster.
No, they're on the official roster looking at, so my apologies for that. But like, that's a bad roster. Like, if
Anderson's not great. I just thought that, you know, they might have enough in them to get out of the group, but they don't impress me much.
No, and I don't know how much that host nation thing. If you don't have that one transcendent guy, I don't know how much it matters. Like, I just don't know if like it's like enough for them to like overcome it. It's not like they have like, it's not like in soccer where if they really wanted to, they could get a really good international guy who's like a little bit older and just throw them in there and be like, okay, you're gonna like win us some games in us in soccer. Like, they don't really have that for basketball. So looking at this overall, well, we won't go game by game because that would be kind of crazy and pedantic, but how do you guys see the medal stand shaking out here? We'll start with Trevor.
I've got U.S. winning gold. Shocker.
Really?
Really? Wow.
They're like, even without most of the group here, I mean, their small lineup with, if they're running Draymond at center, any combination of the wings that they have, and then Kyrie or Kyle Lowry at the point, I just don't see how any team has the ability to defend that. Because any team that's going to play two traditional bigs are going to get run off the floor by that team on the break. Any team that tries to go small against them is going to get overwhelmed athletically by George, Butler, and Durant. So I just don't see how this is going to shake out in any way where they even get a competitive game until the gold medal game against Spain. And even then, I think they've got the athletes to just run Spain off the floor. I've got Spain getting silver just because it's the safest bet behind the USA winning gold. And then I will probably take Argentina. With the bronze.
Really,
I think this is Manu's last ride. I think he's going to put something together pretty special. And I think this Argentina team is going to surprise some people. I like the roster that they got going on.
Talk about old rosters though.
Yeah, but the difference between Argentina and Brazil is like Argentina's roster is old, but actually can play and actually can stay on the floor. Plus, I feel like the young guys that that Argentina has, like Facundo Campazzo and Marcos Delia, they've actually got some decent young talent, whereas Brazil's is kind of underwhelming. I just think this group, they always show out better than you would expect them to. Even though that last exhibition game wasn't, you know, the best showing by them against the U.S.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, they always bring their game for the Olympics, and they always perform better than you would expect. So I think in what's probably going to be their last ride with Scola, Ginobili, Delfino, and Nocioni, I think they've got enough horses to if they can all stay healthy to at least have a shot in every game. And when it gets to that point, I take the veteran experience to and veteran international experience too, because all of these guys have been the core for Argentina for years. I think that does matter, and I think that's going to help them win out against potentially some more athletic teams like a France or a Croatia.
Carter, what about you?
I'm going to go a little chalkier than probably anyone wants to see, but I think I'm going USA with the gold, obviously, for all the reasons that we've already talked about. I think it's going to be Spain and the silver, but I think the way that France gave them a ton of trouble, I'm not sure how the brackets are going to break out, obviously, just as we, you know, depending on how the everyone finishes in group play. But I think if France gets a crack at Spain in the semis, they can beat them. They beat them in the World Cup last year, or 2 years ago. They have Joubert to throw at Pau Gasol, and they've got the athletic horses to deal with it. I think you know what I'm going to go for? I'm going France with silver, Spain with bronze. I believe in France a little more than Trevor.
Yeah, you've been every time we've talked about France off the show in the past couple weeks, you've been very, very high on France. And understandably, I think they have a lot of really talented guys, and they're like it's a pretty good generation of France talent. I'm gonna go a little bit of blend of both of you here. I don't know how it's gonna shake out, obviously, but I'm gonna go USA gold because I just don't see a scenario with none of the teams bringing their full roster and or stables of guys to be able to beat the Americans, and there's so many crazy things the USA can do with their lineups, and I'm kind of excited to see Spain. And then I'm thinking if France, it's either going to be France or Serbia for me at the bottom. And three, we'll see. Serbia might be just a gutsy bit because I love some of the guys they have, especially Jokic, but we'll see. I'm excited. Even if some of the basketball isn't the best, I'm excited. I think it'll be lower level competitively, and it may not be the prettiest thing the whole time, but I think it'll be cool. Before, I'm going to ask you guys a couple other questions after this, but we'll start with Carter for this one. Pick your tournament MVP for me.
I think it's going to be Carmelo Anthony. He was my pick for the USA's best player. I think they're just really going to make a concerted effort to give him a little bit of love, give him a ton of shots, and we already know he thrives here, so the sentimental factor plus the already very complimentary skill set makes him my pick.
And Trevor, what about you?
You know, last big international competition that the U.S. was involved in, he won the MVP. And everybody's picking him to, you know, everybody's saying Kyle Lowry's going to get more minutes than him. But this is how kind of he's played to this point. He rises up for these big challenges. I'm going to say Kyrie Irving wins the MVP because it's just what he does.
That's my pick as well.
Whenever he can be an MVP of something that isn't the NBA, whether it be the All-Star game, the rookie sophomore game, the FIBA World Cup, now the Olympics, he's just going to win as many alternate MVPs as he possibly can. So I'll take Kyrie as the MVP.
I, too, am going to go with Kyrie Irving as my MVP. I think...
you guys are homers.
I am being a little bit of a homer. I think if it's not Kyrie, it's going to be like Durant or Paul George, to be honest. I kind of think it's Kyrie because I think he's going to have a couple... I think he's going to do a little bit of everything. I think he's going to score some, but I also think he's going to distribute and set guys up. And he's just going to have this very balanced game that unless someone else has like an overwhelming scoring day, which is possible, but considering the structure of everything, maybe not as likely as it would be in a single or two-star system, I think it's going to be Kyrie. And I'm kind of excited for the summer of Kyrie to continue. Trevor, who's been saying that Kyle Lowry is going to play more than Kyrie Irving?
That caught my...
Oh, I've seen that a lot of places.
Those are some bad takes.
I've seen a lot of people say that, you know, that Lowry's the one who's going to deserve more minutes, and he's going to be the one who's going to get a bigger chunk of the time. But okay. Yeah, that just sure. It's ludicrous to me that you wouldn't start Kyrie just based on his past performances with the Olympic team. I mean, he's kind of built this little backbone of his career progression to this point on showing out with Olympic with USA basketball. And you know, Krzyzewski trusts him obviously, and I think that's gonna be a big part of it too. I'm really excited for Kyrie in this tournament. When he gets things cooking against some of these slower, less laterally quick Olympic guards, it's gonna be real fun. He's gonna put some people on skates, and it's gonna be awesome to watch.
I already am ready for short form duty during this to just get a ton of Kyrie crossover clips up on FearTheSword.com because it's just gonna be a show for him, I think. And you know, he's the only Cav, I believe, in the tournament, so that's cool. Not a Kevin. It's a Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, Carter.
So sad. Oh, Carter. That might cost you your bureau chief position.
Oh, that's fine.
Dan might be
somewhere taken. Ryan Morton cackles.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Ryan somewhere in his Vegas detox / Twitter hiatus is just cackling because he heard that. Like, he felt it in his spine. To wrap this up, I'm going to ask you guys each three questions. I'm going to pop back and forth. I want just one-sentence answers at most, and it's going to be a little bit of just guesses on averages, and I'm going to ask you both each one question about the women's national team as well. You ready?
Sure. Okay.
All right, start with Trevor. Trevor, how many technicals do Boogie and Draymond Green combine for in the tournament?
I think we'll get one from Draymond. I just don't see that. I just don't see that being as big of an issue, just because I feel like they're going to be, this is more of kind of a unique atmosphere, and these two guys are going to be pretty locked in. But at the same time, you can never count out Draymond to do something stupid to potentially hinder his team. So I'll say that Draymond gets one, Boogie stays relatively clean, and this is a pretty white tournament in terms of international incidents from the U.S.'s end. And I say that just because, you know, France and Spain can play again, and we know Nick Batum and Juan Carlos Navarro need their revenge.
He'll give him something to flop about.
All right, Carter. Give me what will Kyrie Irving's point average and assist average be in this tournament?
Let's say 14-7 will be my guess.
Carter, what is the closest game? What is the U.S.'s smallest win in this tournament?
I'll take the Spain game and the gold medal game by 11.
All right, Carter.
That's tight.
Yeah, that's pretty tight. Carter, their biggest win.
I think they win by at least 42.
Trevor. Yeah, dude. I mean, they might kill Venezuela. And if we could ever petition something to get Venezuela out of the tournament, I'd be here for that. Trevor, who is the one player on the women's team that you think people should watch?
I've got to pull up the roster for that. Just because I haven't seen.
It's pretty much
seen who exactly.
It's who you'd expect, except for Candace Parker, who did not make it for some few reasons.
I guess then I'll take Maya Moore, who I think could probably be a starting two guard in the NBA.
That's amazing. And Trevor, or Carter, God, I keep messing you guys' name up. Over under on dunks for Brittany Griner, 2.5.
Give me the over. Let's get crazy.
Let's go fun. Let's have some fun Olympics. Guys, I just want to thank you for joining me. We'll start with Trevor, then go to Carter. Trevor, where can people find you on Twitter? And when I introduced you, did I miss any sites? Because I know you're writing about everywhere now.
No, you hit all the sites, Upside and Motor, Ridiculous Upside, and then Fear the Sword. At Illegal Screens is the at handle. Young Kurt Rambis.
And he is not actually Kurt Rambis. To the one dude who thinks he's Kurt Rambis. Yeah, he just actually looks a lot like Kurt Rambis. And Carter.
Yeah, one of my coworkers.
Yeah.
Great nickname that I've decided to own.
You might as well. It could be worse, even if Kurt Rambis is kind of a terrible coach. But Carter, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Carter_Shade.
And he's all Carter, by the way, is also a producer, 120 Sports. Download their app. It's pretty great. And you can find me on Twitter at CDubimWrites. You can find my writing, Fear the Sword, Hardwood Paroxysm. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at LockedOnCavs. Submit questions, add inquiries, just want to say hi. Email us at LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. We're kind of fleshing some things out. We're going to do some Olympic podcasts. These two will probably be on at least some of them. But we're getting to the dead period, so if you don't see us every day, we'll probably do a little announcement podcast just to make sure you guys know. But if not, we will talk to you guys soon, and enjoy the Olympics. And don't just watch the basketball. Watch everything, including the weirdest thing you can find, which may be... Actually, here's a question for you guys. Weirdest Olympic event you're looking forward to? And either one, you can go first. For me, it might be water polo.
Is handball? Is handball in the Olympics this
I think
year?
So.
Handball's always fun.
Handball's good. I gotta agree with Chris though. Water polo is gonna be fun.
I've no idea who's
I've
good
gotten into that sport playing working in California now. So it's kind of gotten a little soft spot. Soccer's also weird, but is that gonna be actually in the Olympics this year? I thought that.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
So yeah, so this Olympic soccer is always it's never the best guys, so it's always a little drunk. So that's good.
Drunk soccer, that was good. All right, guys, thanks for listening again, and remember to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, all that stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.